The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" And he told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. He answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. For those of you that have been here for a while, this is a rerun of a homily I've done a long time ago. Some of you might remember it. I myself do not. We're talking about John the Baptist. And I always thought of John the Baptist as kind of the go-between guy between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You know, he was here doing these things and saying, "Jesus is coming, be ready for him." So that's just my personal thought there. And I thought, John tells us, what are we supposed to do? What should we do? And it's things that I know all of you do. You share with others. You clothe others when they need that. You feed others when they are hungry. You don't take things that you have not earned or don't belong to you. You're truthful. I can say I am most of the time. My wife and kids may argue with you a little bit about that. And don't make other people give in to you under threat of doing things harmful to them. Don't extort from other people. We are just ordinary people doing ordinary things. But the message that John sends is, be a good person. Do what you're supposed to. I'm not so sure a part about being satisfied with the pay that you get, but the rest of it makes pretty good sense. But the main thing is John went out and baptized. He took the believers and the followers and baptized them with water. So here we are, one foot standing on yesterday and another standing here waiting for tomorrow to happen. But it's easier to look back and wonder how things in our life would be different, or where we might be today if we had just done one little thing different in our lives. Just one little thing different. You know, it's like Yogi Berra said, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. Now, which one we take, it may just be a random chance or a choice that we have thought about and made. So many times, years and years ago, these choices were made, a lot of them by our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents, and I even have a story to tell you about somebody's great-great-great, I think that's all the greats that were in there, grandparents. And that all started when St. Joe's was known as St. Joe's and St. Patrick's. And how we came to be St. Joe's, I had never heard this before, but there was quite the back and forth between two groups of people in this church. And one of these groups gave quite a bit of money to the church. The other group was just as faithful, just as worked hard, but they didn't give quite as much money. So apparently one Sunday they said, "Today we will decide if we're going to be St. Patrick's or St. Joe's." Now the person that related this story to me said that they really couldn't remember if it was the really well-off people that gave a lot of money or the ones that counted the money and done a lot of work around the church that decided that we were going to be St. Joseph's. But supposedly, that's how St. Joseph's came to be St. Joseph's instead of St. Patrick. So those decisions were made, like I said, over 100 years ago, probably over 120 years ago. None of us were around that time. But one thing that I did do, and like I said, this is from years and years ago, you know, our families, they made those choices, some of them in the 1800s. So here we are today, continuing on with our family traditions. I like to say, hey, my grandkids, and I don't think of myself as that old, but I know that I am, my grandkids are seventh generation of my wife's side of the family to be baptized right here at St. Joe's. I look out here and I see some of you and I'm thinking, my gosh, you must have 15 generations, if not more, baptized here at St. Joe's. And you think about that. Our priests have been baptizing people right here longer than most Christian denominations have even been around. That's amazing to me. And they say, oh, my church was founded by Christ. No. Your church hadn't even been here 30 years yet. My building that I come to worship has been here longer than your religion has. And I'm not knocking them. Please don't think that I am. But this goes on. So anyway, one day, Father comes up and says, "You're doing the homily at midnight mass." Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, in my, I'm not sure what you would call it, Christmas is the beginning for us. This is the beginning of our new year. Christmas, back in the late 1800s, was the beginning for our church. Let me find my first one. Okay. The first recorded baptism at St. Joseph. Now, this is the first baptism. You also have to figure, well, the church was already here. The parents were already here. They were already married here. So the first recording in this book, which, by the way, they have in the office, and they will not allow you to take it out of their sight, was in 1987, an infant named James Franciscus. Did I say 19? I only missed it by 100 years. Okay, February 7th, 1897. He was born on the day after Christmas in 1895. Now, how cool is that? You're born the day after Christmas, and then a little over a year later, you're baptized into this faith that's going to keep you and carry you through generation after generation after generation. The next was a set of twins baptized on Christmas Day. That's even cooler, I think. I mean, how much better can it get? Unless maybe you wanted to be an only child. But that was James Michael and Franciscus Joanne Bode. And they were baptized by Father Metter. You could always tell Father Metter by his writing. Everything that he wrote in that book was in Latin. My Latin is not very good, neither is my Spanish, and my French was even worse. But if you put them all together, it's kind of like Latin. They all come from the same. But, you know, it is so interesting to read those things and find out, where did we come from? I wonder about that. You know, where did my ancestors come from? I have no idea. I know that my great-great-grandparents were probably ran out of every civilized country on earth before they came to America. I found out I'm part Irish, so hey, maybe I was part of the Irish bunch they shipped over here to work in whatever factory they had in New York or something. But it's amazing how Jesus has continued over the over a century now, over these decades, to keep working through us and through these families. Now, one thing I did find out, this goes back even further than the records that St. Joseph keeps, because theirs is baptismal records. And if you'll read them, they have the person that was baptized, the date, the parents, the godparents, and then there's a little box over here that has little notations about other sacraments. Well, apparently in one of these sacraments, we've got some Cahoe-heres, right? They were here before history. Apparently, a Cahoe married Baker back in way 18, early 90s, and that was one of the very first marriages that's in any of those books that I could find. And the story I was told was that the bishop at the time really liked our parish here in Norman. So he would come here often to celebrate Mass. He comes down one day to celebrate Mass, and the Cahoe's great-great-great-great-grandparents, one of them is getting married, and he says, I am going to do that wedding. That was, I believe, in 1895. And I see a couple of Cahoes in here, and they're shaking their heads, so that's good. But that's the thing about here. If you just look around, I guarantee at least two people in your pew are at least a third cousin or something. You're all related if you've been here. And I've had my friend and my old captain many times tell me about how the families came about and things of that nature. And you recognize these names. You know, the Sindelbachs were here. They became godparents on March 23rd, 1897. They're still here in Norman. Still see them around occasionally. And as I said, the very first Cahoe was baptized June the 12th, 1898. Long time ago. That would have been Carol's great-great-grandfather, who was a baker and was married by the bishop. That's the oldest record, the oldest record that I could find of anyone in our parish. But These things, these are our family. It's what makes us. We're not just people coming to the same church to listen to Jesus' word and listen to me. Well, you're here to listen to Father, of course. But you're here with family. Family is the greatest thing in the world. But that was the oldest record. Like I said, and as you read, you see how you're related. The Schraders married a Myers. They get together in 1898. The Brules, we all know the Brules. We know the Schraders. We know the Myers. The Brules arrive here in 1899. Now, that's when they got a record in the book. They may have been here years before that happened. Okay, they had a baptism. Then in 1902, the Boskins, we all know them. Bauerschmidts, I believe I went through RCIA with a Bauerschmidt who had to have been related. She had lived here forever. The Walshes came in 1903. The Brockhouses, we all know a Brockhouse, 1903. The Misers, 1906. The West, some of us guys that's done construction, we know the West. The Haineses, been here since 1907. The Siders, actually said you were here in 1907, but if according to my looking up, you were 2 years behind on that. The Siders actually showed up in 1905. So I believe that's related to the Brules. Tullius's have been here since 1907. The Grills and the Jansing, where I've kind of weaseled my way into a lot of families through my wife, been here since 1912. And my dear friends, the Leffelholtzes, newcomers, they only been here since 1920. So, but the history of our church, and it's not just the people, it's how many people have come here. Well, I added all of those up too. And it comes up to over 6,400 people have been baptized here at St. Joe's. Gosh, that's a lot of people that has come to Christ right here in this very spot. Easter, Christmas, and every day in between, someone has come here and been baptized into the Lord. It's amazing how many of those that we have done. And like I said, that was an estimate I got with Father, and we just kind of guessed how many he had done. I'm sure it's probably more than what I have down here. But Christ sent us all here for a reason. He sent us here because we're family and we need to be together. We need to help each other. We need to clothe each other if we have to. Feed each other if we have to. We need to do all of those things. But I just wanted to go over that again today because, like I said, to me, John's kind of a special guy in there. He's always seems like, well, he's kind of stuck in the middle of one person and another, and you wonder which way to go sometimes. But I believe that John, as even says in our great book of the Gospels here, was the precursor that came before Christ to let us know that Christ was coming and to tell us these are the things you should do. And the greatest one of all is go out and baptize all nations, because we have people here in our family from all over the world. And I'm glad I finally was able to get into it and be part of it.